Hello, everybody, and welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 173.
Graham, are we in an undisclosed location again?
We're in Lake Tahoe. I don't know how undisclosed that is.
So, all right. So, yeah, but we're in like a submarine bunker in the middle of
we're
the
in
lake.
A submarine deep below the depths of Lake Tahoe. We're in searching the bottom. We're finding a lot of dead mafia people. And at the bottom of this
lake. Preserved.
They're well preserved. It's so cold. They're just, wow, he's in the same suit he wore in 1956.
Yeah.
So, we're here in beautiful Lake Tahoe. That's why the episode is coming up a little later in the week. Normally, it's coming up Tuesday. This is now Thursday, August 15th.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. First of all.
Oh, it's horrible up here in Lake Tahoe.
It's so gorgeous. This place is amazing. We were out on the lake today. It was just like, you can't turn and see something ugly.
No.
Like everywhere you go, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Like if you have guys have never come up to Lake Tahoe, you should. It is one of the more beautiful places in North America. And the summer, like everyone, yes, it's a ski resort and it's great for skiing. It's got great skiing. But you got the summer, the lake, you go
it's
out.
Beautiful.
On, it's unbelievable. Beautiful. Yeah. You can
the beaches are beautiful.
The beaches are amazing. It's a huge lake. It's 70 some miles around and it's just pristine.
And it's like 1,500 feet deep or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's fantastic. But make sure you drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated.
Yeah. Very high altitude.
High altitude. So we will be doing an Elysium spoiler alert episode this week, and it'll be with Howie Knave, the comic and morning radio DJ here in Lake Tahoe, who was on last year's episode. So get ready for that. Speaking of spoiler alert episodes, the goddamn Pacific Rim one finally.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it got fixed. It got taken from the rift.
Yeah.
Put back together.
A kaiju tried to eat it.
Yes.
We pulled it from the jaws of a kaiju. Yeah.
And sewn back together.
Yeah, it was in the wormhole.
With the help of a very illustrious fan.
There's a fan named Eric, and he's from Minnesota. He's been listening since episode one, and he fixed this. And there's a website you should check out. It's his daughter's. It's got a webcomic. It's called enchantedpencil.com. It's really cool. So support that because he fixed.
Yeah, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had the episode back.
He fixed it. He battled the kaiju, and he won.
Yes.
So he saved the
on
Earth.
His own. He was in an iGirl by himself.
He didn't have to mind meld or whatever they called it. I've already forgotten. But that Pacific Rim episode with Will Anderson, if you didn't know already, is available.
It's complete. I mean, we had a little false start getting it up once, and then because it cut out halfway through, but that's fixed. You get the entire episode
all
now.
40 minutes with Will Anderson, doing his amazing Australian accent.
Yeah, it's pretty authentic.
It's pretty spot on.
Yeah.
It's like he went to a special school for it.
Yeah, and he sounded like Yahoo Serious.
It was so great, yeah. The Australian comics never get tired of having that joke made at them. It's like when we go there to visit and they ask us all if we have guns.
Yeah. If you go to Russia, it's like, hey, how'd you get rid of Yakov Smirnov?
We made him president.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I also want to thank everybody that came out to see Doug Benson and myself in Salem, Oregon, at the Grand Theater. It was such a fun show. We'd never performed there before.
Was it a 420 show?
No, it was a regular nighttime show, Thursday night. And it was a cool little theater. And then we did Comedy on State in Madison. We did a 420 show on Saturday, which was a lot of fun. And then we did Doug Loves Movies, which is available. So if you like whistling and watching Doug lose his cool and have a temper tantrum, then listen to that episode. It's great.
Now, what if I only like one of those things?
Oh, man, you're going to have to pick and choose.
Which half should I listen to?
Listen to the front half. Yeah, I'm starting a new band called the Whistling Banes. So we're going to be at Bumper Shoot this year. So check that out. And then, of course, we forgot the other thing that fixed the Pacific Rim spoiler episode was the drain claw.
It really was.
The drain claw fixed it.
They are long enough to go into a time rift.
Yeah,
really are.
They go into a time rift in a wormhole and fought an alien race of... And pull out hair and space dragons.
Yeah.
So, and fix digital technology that got corrupted. Corrupted digital files. That's how good the drain claw is.
It's pretty amazing. See, again, a use for every episode.
Every episode. First, we found out it cleaned reusable plastic smoothie straws.
Yeah, and then it can go into drains that actually are hard to get to, because if your stopper is kind of won't go up all the way, it doesn't matter. Drain cloth still can get
goes
in
right
there.
Through it.
The,
goes right through it.
And still get the hair out.
And let's say you got a kaiju in your drain. That's
well, you're
going to
need two. You should probably buy two.
Buy two of them then, and you will save the planet Earth with a drain claw. So go to thedrainclaw.com. As we have said before, it is environmentally friendly because it's not harmful chemicals. Mm-hmm. You're literally just sticking a pipe cleaner, a wire thing down there and cleaning
that's
up.
That's magic.
That's magic that has have magical properties. It's like a unicorn went down into your drain.
And pulled out some evil hair.
Some evil clumps of hair that a wicked witch put down there. And it's made in America, so you're supporting American-made products.
And the other thing I want to say, too, a lot of people have been ordering things and asking in the customer note section, hey, can I have a drain claw? And you know what? We've been giving them to you.
We'll give them to you.
Yeah, if you just want a book and you want, hey, can I have a drain claw? We'll throw one in. We have more left.
We do have more
and
left.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, we're in the process of upgrading our cart, and we had a little bit of issues with some shipping issues. Those, we have a workaround right now. It's fixed. So if you ever tried to buy something and you weren't getting shipping taken care of or shipping showing up, that's fixed. And then soon we'll be updating and upgrading the cart, and then it'll be even more streamlined. So you have something to look forward to.
The new cart's going to be kind of awesome because it's going to integrate with Facebook and all that stuff.
All that stuff. It'll be MailChimp, everything. So we're really we're about 18 months behind on upgrades, so we're going to do them all at once, and we'll be in good shape.
Yeah, and we've had
and a special shout out too to Brian Wolf, who's been really helping us with this. Used to be in Portland, was keeping it weird. Now he lives in California.
He lives in California.
Really a great tech support guy, and also has his own podcast as well. You can check him out on Facebook, Brian Wolf.
WOLFE.
Yes.
The Wolf, the Lobo.
The Chupacabra.
The Chupacabra running wild in California. He is a werewolf.
Yeah.
So be advised.
A tech wolf.
He's a tech werewolf. So you will need a silver bullet to take him out or a drain claw.
Yeah. Just don't hire him on a full moon.
Don't ever hire him on a full moon. He's already killed one of our other interns.
Yeah.
He ate him like American Werewolf in London. And he keeps hanging out in our garage, a half-eaten intern that Brian Wolf ate.
Yeah, and he keeps bringing the remains as like a present.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Just fix the goddamn upgrade. Just fix the cart. We don't need your half-eaten werewolf remains, you weirdo. So big shout-out to Brian Wolf for doing that. And, of course, go to thedrainclaw.com.
Yes, thedrainclaw.com.
And, all right, so let's get into this week's episode.
Yes. Where do you want to start?
Well, we both saw Elysium.
Yeah, let's talk about Elysium.
Let's talk about Elysium, which did $30 million this weekend.
A little bit of a disappointment.
A little bit. Like, yeah. I was really fired up for this, and obviously we love District 9. We love Neil Blomkamp. And here's what I'll say.
Go ahead.
You know, this happens when a guy comes out, or a filmmaker comes out with a cool first indie film, and then this is like a Hollywood movie. This is a big Hollywood film. And I love Matt Damon, and I think he's very good.
And Jodie Foster.
I do like her. I'm curious as to the accent choice that she was like. Like, someone on Twitter goes, was her voice... Did they dub that voice? Like, was that her?
I'll tell you exactly what she was trying to do. She was trying to emulate Shalto Copley's South African accent.
Oh.
And which was an odd choice because Shalto Copley's accent is unintelligible.
Yeah, I guess you really don't know what he's saying.
So I'm not really sure why you would want. I need to sound more like him. No. No, you don't. He needs to sound more like you.
I mean, I like the fact that the character was written and the way she played it was... You know, 130 years in the future, 140 years in the future, it's a woman going, I got to do the tough job. You know, I'm the militaristic. You know, I thought that was an interesting choice.
Now, broad strokes, though, let's back up a little bit. What did you think of the movie?
Broad strokes, I liked it.
Okay.
Broad strokes, I liked it. It's an entertaining movie. It's got an interesting social commentary. And if this is sort of, you know, Neil Blomkamp's the kind of filmmaker he's going to be is sort of fun science fiction that's got heavy social commentary, I'm all for it. It's just really on the nose, you know, like it's
and there lies its greatest problem.
Exactly. It's so predictable and on the nose that you're like, oh, this, I know exactly what's going to happen. Like, you knew exactly, you know, and that's the thing. Like District 9 wasn't that on the nose. Like it's District 9 was so unique in its view of aliens coming. Like who? There's never been an alien visitation movie
that's had them put into relocation camps,
and they were just sort of annoying. Like they didn't help us, they didn't try to dominate us, they were just sort of a nuisance that we didn't want to deal with, you know, like and that was so cool. Now that the actor that was the lead in District 9, who then plays the bad guy in it, I love seeing an actor play something completely different than the role I saw him in, and he's a great bad guy. You watch District 9 and you think this guy could never play like a mean badass because he's just some shifty. And District 9, he's just like, oh, you know, this dumb municipal.
He's a civil servant.
He's a civil servant that's just in over his head.
Right.
It was very believable that he's some like special ops psychopath that they use just to do awful jobs.
Right. Black ops.
Yeah.
Kind of guy.
Who's just like, he's nuts. Like when you need awful shit to happen, you call this lunatic and his evil buddies.
Right.
That was really believable. And I like, what's her name? Braga, the Brazilian actress who played sort of Matt Damon's childhood love interest. You know, I like all these actors. Broad strokes, I liked it. We'll go into the spoiler rep, the real specifics thing that I didn't like. I'll just say it was just very predictable.
Okay. Now I agree mostly with what you're saying. Now I will say this is, it's interesting how, you know, sometimes we come down a little bit harder on movies and then, Neil's reviews generally on the site are a little more, he forgives a lot more. Neil hated this movie.
Wow. that takes a lot for Neil to hate a film.
And you can read his review on the site. And I will say this movie was disappointing to me. And it was one of those movies that I really wanted to love. Mm. Because like you, I love District 9. I love the filmmaker. I just love the idea of, there's so much to be mined in this, you know, utopian versus dystopian vision.
I mean,
of the
future. it's an Occupy Wall Street movie, really. I mean,
well,
it's
and that's where the problems lie.
Right.
Is when you look at a movie like this, like Elysium, what I was seeing and I was watching this movie, I'm like, you know what? This is a dumbed down remake of Metropolis.
Right.
This is really what this movie looks like to me.
Right.
It's a dumbed down remake of Metropolis. And that's where the greatest problem is. When you look at a movie like District 9, not only was the premise very, very interesting, but the story had so much more meat to it.
Yeah.
And the characters had so much more meat to it. You went into the backstory. How did this happen? How does this work? How do the politics work of this world that the filmmaker is creating?
And as probably would be the case, so convoluted in a good way in that there's no clear-cut good guy, bad guy.
And
like there's
like those testimonials about like different people's opinions on what is going on.
It
resonated. It really did.
Right.
It was like, this makes perfect sense. Whereas when you get a movie like Elysium, and this is the filmmaker, he said this in an interview, he made this choice, I kind of just wanted to make like, you know, a sci-fi action movie. All that stuff gets stripped down.
Right.
It's out. And then when that happens, you have an empty movie, unfortunately, because what you're missing now is like, okay, I get it. Elysium's trying to keep the poor people off. But now, what's the relationship between the poor people? Obviously, there's a factory they have to make. They're economically related. I want to see how this world actually functions and then tell me why it's about to blow up. And all that stuff literally gets glossed over. There's all these different like power struggles that you don't really care about. There's like twists in the story that you don't care about.
Well, they introduce all these things and then bail off.
Right. And not only do they bail, there's some things they introduce and bail, and there's some things they introduce and then pay off at the same time, which gives you, well, no, now I don't care. You know, this hasn't mm-hmm. built at all. You're giving me a payoff that I didn't earn and that it's not interesting to me. So you've got a lot of really good actors doing their best with ultimately half-baked material. And that's really what it felt like.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't fleshed out enough.
It wasn't fleshed out. And when you look at like the story of like, there's like I said, there's a lot to mine in there. There's a lot that could have been done here. You know, the action was cool, but ultimately it was nothing earth-shattering or groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. Sholto Copley played a great psychopath, and but at the end of the day, couldn't understand him half the time. And also, even as a psychopath, there was a lot of predictability to it. Like, show me a little bit, you know, maybe he had, like, an agenda or something. Like, maybe he had some kind of master plan that was, it doesn't have to be completely sane, but somehow rooted in, like, okay, well, I could kind of see where he's coming from that would be against, like, what Matt Damon or Jodie Foster's characters are trying to do. So there was a lot that just – it was basically – it's one of these movies that ultimately was a missed opportunity. Like, you had all of the elements there. They just didn't come together properly. And that, I think the main flaw in the movie was that we didn't get enough depth into anything, into the history, the world, the characters. All we got was some kind of some action, some plot twists that – and it just didn't really go very far.
Well, you had like – and it's Alice Braga plays, you know, you kind of, Alice Braga and Matt Damon, you know, have known each other since they were kids. But again, they just, that's the most like backstory character development we got was just those two people. And we got nothing else. Like, I would have loved to have known a little more why Jodie Foster was such a hard ass.
Right.
You know, and.
Or like going into, what is the social structure? Why does Elysium even need Earth? I mean, why is there? Why are there even shuttles going back and forth? This looks like it's an idyllic paradise that's self-sufficient. What do you care?
It doesn't need, why would
why
it,
are there factories that are bringing stuff up there? I mean, all this stuff.
Yeah, that's again. They introduce all this stuff, and then they introduce.
There's robot servants. Why do you need a you know, a servant class on Elysium or what? What's going on?
What's going on? And then what is the? I mean, they kind of introduce, you know, and then like.
And wouldn't a company make a lot of money with healing machines if they marketed them down on the planet?
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing. Like, they just introduce all these things. And again, just a lot of two-dimensional characters. Like, William Fincher is just this corporate bad guy.
Nothing to him.
Nothing to him. You know, the president. Everyone is just, oh, he's a spineless president. Jodie Foster is the one with the backbone.
Yeah, there's a queue in two scenes. All of a sudden,
How can they do this? And it seems so simplistic.
Oh, and these are not spoilers. This is all in the beginning, by the way. This is all in the setup.
I guess if someone were to ask me, would I recommend this? I'd say, yeah. I mean,
it's a rental.
A rental. It's an interesting film to rent or watch on a plane.
But again, it's like it's that missed opportunity. You just wanted it to be. You wanted it to be more than it was, and so am I. Am I still excited to see Neil Blomkamp's next movie? Of course I am. Absolutely.
I will. He'll need a couple more swings and misses before
we bail on him.
Before we M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, before we M. Night him. Yeah.
Because, like, I was watching this and I was going, is this his fault or is this, like, big studio stuff coming in and saying?
And who knows? And it might have been a combination of both. Now, I will say one other thing, and you've got to remember with District 9 – this is a story that he'd been living with for many years.
Yeah.
He made a short film about it. He lived in South Africa, so apartheid was very personal to him. So at the end of the day, this was material he was not only very familiar with, it was passionate, and it was part of him.
He'd been working on it and living in it for years.
Yeah, so you see the difference as far as, you know, the art imitates life, or vice versa.
Right.
Life, and you see, you know, the craft that went into that movie and the personal nature of it, whereas this one, like you said, this is his first big studio movie. It just kind of felt slapped together, which is a shame, because I know he's a better filmmaker than that. I really do. I see it. And
all the actors are great in it.
Yeah, they're all great.
Diego Luna, everybody. They're really good.
So let's see the next one.
Yeah, let's see the next one. Let's see the next one. Now, all the other movies that came out were The Millers, Planes, and...
And you know what? You can read reviews of a lot of these on the site right now. We're the Millers actually was reviewed by Lord Corrette.
Who said, actually, it's a film finally works for Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And Dave Anthony's Planes review
is absolutely hysterical.
When he you emailed have to it read to it. Us, we were like, Dave, this is great. Just read Dave Anthony's review, because it's
you know what's weird about it? He gets a little worked up.
It's right in Dave's wheelhouse. He's so angry and mean about how stupid this movie is. Which is wonderful. And then Percy Jackson Sea of Monsters, $14.4 million.
Now that surprises me a little bit, because that's still like a huge book franchise. And but here's the thing. The first one was so bad that I think a lot of people kind of bailed on the movie. And when I'm saying a lot of people, I mean kids. And they're like, eh, not really that interested. The other thing, too, is, you know, you're going to have two shitty kids movies come out on the same weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's granted the demographics are a little bit, but, you know, a lot of parents are like, look, I'm taking you kids to see one. Which is it going to be? Yeah.
Percy Jackson. All right. All right. There's also a really good review. I know we talked about it last week's episode, The Way, Way Back, that was written by Laura House. So
yeah, it's another great review on that.
A lot of these, some of these writers, you know, are busy and don't get to submit as often. So I would take advantage and listen to
and
these.
Neil did a great column on seeing the Godzilla in Comic-Con panel.
Right,
so
right.
So that's on there.
And isn't
as well.
There a Matt Weinhold Comic-Con?
And there's a Matt Weinhold Comic-Con piece too. Yeah, there's a lot of new content on the site right now.
Yeah, so go to the site and check that.
And read.
And read. Do some, read. Jesus. You just sit here and let us tell you everything.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Get that drain claw out of your ears and use your eyes.
Maybe use the goddamn drain claw in your ears. Okay, so let us talk about
the podcast festival.
Yes, let's talk about the podcast festival.
We are very excited that we have the schedule up right now.
Yes,
so you can check out the schedule, and also we have day passes are now available too, so you can buy the full pass and also Friday, Saturday, Sunday passes. We've got some amazing panels and presentations. The Electronic Frontier Foundation is going to do an entire presentation on podcast patent trolling, and we're going to have monetizing your podcast. We're going to have Pitch Your Podcast. This is a podcast this is a podcast panel that was requested by you fans. They want you want to pitch your own podcast, and we will judge them.
And also we are starting to finally release. We had a little snag with iTunes, but we're finally releasing the podcast. The Best of the Fest podcast is now available on iTunes, and also if you go to lapodfest.com, you can just subscribe to it through there. And then in the next couple of weeks, we're going to release the panels from last year's festival.
And they're amazing.
They're really cool panels to kind of get you guys excited for this year's festival. And last year we had 24 shows in the festival. This year we're going to have close to 40.
Yeah, so it's expanding.
And another
podcast lab, which is going to be amazing.
The lab, which is, I think we haven't talked, I know we've talked about, we'll talk about it again though. If you have a smaller show that's not officially like invited to the festival, you can just show up there with your recording equipment and interview whoever you can grab. And there's going to be this room, and it's sponsored by Squarespace, and they're going to have some food and stuff in there.
We'll all be available. We'll jump into an interview if you want.
We'll interview any guys. We got time. We'll set up interviews and just grab as many of the comedians and guests that are going to be there as you can. You know, a couple shows, Podcast Squared and Biz and Chips and stuff did that last year, and so we're really hoping that a lot of people, a lot of the smaller shows, I know some of you already got tickets and you're talking about it, which is great. So the ticket prices are the same from last year. We didn't raise them at all. And also...
So that's not good for us, but good for you guys.
It's good for you guys. We're going to keep the prices the same. And MailChimp is paying for a closing night party. So there's going to be free food and drinks. And I think... Let's mention Chris Gore.
Chris Gore.
Well, first I want to say that... Should we say what we're gonna, entertainment we're going to have for the closing night party?
No, because that hasn't been confirmed.
That hasn't been confirmed yet.
So, but Chris Gore has been confirmed. So, Chris Gore, as you know, is has his own podcast, Podcrash with Chris Gore. But Chris Gore is going to do a little stunt during the podcast festival. He is going to try for the longest podcast, Guinness Book of World Records. So he's going to be podcasting throughout the entire weekend, mobile. He has a mobile rig, so he'll be walking around, although he'll be in the lounge a lot of the time. And then he will break the record on Sunday at the lounge.
At the lounge.
So you can actually be there for that.
So you can just find him. He'll need content. So
yes,
go up to him and talk
content.
To him.
He'll be literally talking for 24 hours. Actually, no. It'll be 3 to 4 days.
It's like a week or something like that of continuous podcasting that culminates in
the
festival.
He'll be exhausted and punchy.
Yeah.
So that's when you really want to be interviewed by
You'll get
Chris
interviewed.
Gore.
So you can just come to the festival and be on his podcast. Mm-hmm. And of course, we will be doing ours, and we will, like we did last year, we're going to take questions, and you know, there's a lot of cool, some of the shows from last year and a lot of different ones. It's going to be very, very fun, and there might be some more sponsored parties and stuff like that. We're going to have a little lounge. that's going to be open afterwards for people to hang out in, like our own little like private bar kind of thing. It's going to be really
not for
cool.
you guys, just for Graham and I.
Just for Chris and I to drink coconut water, and Chris can drink whiskey out of his gargoyle chalice. So we're going to have like a special place for all of us just kind of hang out, make it even more personal than last year. But like really good shows again.
And it won't be whiskey. It will be ale.
It'll be Pirate's Ale.
Yeah.
But again, Mark Maron and Kevin Pollack, Baron Vaughn, Death Squad, Keith and the Girl. We just added Ricky Lindholm's podcast, Making It, and a bunch of other story-worthy Improv for Humans, Jordan Jesse Go, Kevin Pereira, Dining with Doug and Karen,
Kevin Pollack.
Mental Illness Happy Hour, Paul Gilmartin's Martin's one, Mike Schmidt.
Yeah, and also one from the Discovery channel, How Stuff Works.
Yeah, How Stuff Works is going to be, we've really expanded it, and we're bringing in a couple different types of things, and it's going to be a lot of fun, as it was last year. So come on out for the festival. Go to lapodfest.com. And of course, we are on Facebook and Twitter as well, at LA Podfest. So I would subscribe to the Twitter feed at LA Podfest and Facebook feed, because we're doing updates through those.
Yes.
There's a Facebook fan page, so like that if you're on one or both of those two things. All right, let's go into DVDs.
Okay.
Olympus Has Fallen. Really? Come on. Do you really need to watch this on a DVD?
Only if you haven't seen White House Down.
If you haven't seen White House Down, you know what? Rent both of those and just mash them up on.
Watch them at the same time.
And see if there's a discernible difference at all. The Big Wedding. That's coming out. What's The Big Wedding?
That I'm drawing a blank. That's not the Robert De Niro movie, is it?
Oh, yes. That was Robert De Niro, Diane Keaton.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Wow. So kind of a light week for DVDs. and then we talked about this on previous podcasts, the DVD of that documentary, A Band Called Death, which, you know.
You got to check it out.
You got to check it out. It was one of those films that, you know, did a limited release in the theaters. It's typical of most documentaries. So really rent this, A Band Called Death. It's awesome. It does that thing that documentaries do, which is so well, which is bring you in to some world or some subculture or some band or something that you never knew of and never heard of. And that's sort of the whole story is learning about this band and all these people going, wait, what? What's this? And then how they got found again. It's sort of this year's Searching for Sugar Man, which was a great podcast from last year.
Or This Is Anvil.
Right. Or This Is Anvil. Like, it's really cool. It's personal. It's heartfelt. There's great interviews. And it's just an amazing story. And I cannot recommend it enough. And also The Company You Keep, which I believe is the Robert Redford movie, which I haven't seen. I'm curious to see this because it was one of those movies that was in theaters, didn't get a lot of press.
No, it's one we'll have to catch up on DVD.
It was sort of like Robert Redford did a film and not that many people talked about it. So I'm curious as to what that's about. So I really want to see this. And then Emperor, that movie that I talked about with Matthew Fox, about based on a true story of the actual general that helped.
You like this movie?
I really like this a lot. It really helped. You know, it showed the personal, because again, it's, you know, World War II was so huge, such a giant event. Obviously, there's still stories coming out of it that we weren't aware of. Like, and this is one of them: the rebuilding of Japan after the war, and the political navigation that he had to do. And you know, he's basically at MacArthur's behest, and MacArthur was like a savvy soldier and politician, you know, who also liked the spotlight, and how could he kind of use this general to do this. So it was really, it's really cool. And they you know, put in some personal stuff in there, and it's all really good performances. And it was just one of those really kind of quiet, good movies that just kind of came in under the radar. So it got a limited release. So more than likely it didn't come to your town. So this is a great movie to rent. Like of this list, I would say Band Called Death and Emperor. And then, you know, let us know what you thought of Company You Keep. I think it's going to be on a plane I'm on soon.
I'm sure.
So I'm going to check that out. So a couple decent DVDs week. A couple decent DVDs. All right. Coming out this week This is going to be an interesting week.
Well, this week, you mean tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. We're going to go see a couple of these tomorrow. Kick-Ass 2, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I want to see it.
Absolutely love the first one. I love the addition of Jim Carrey, even though now he's distancing himself because of the gun thing, which...
Which is such bullshit.
It is bullshit.
You know what? If you felt that way, you read the script.
Why'd you make it?
Yeah, don't be in the movie.
And also, you know what you're doing when you do that?
You're making yourself look like an asshole.
You make yourself look like an asshole, and you're giving credence to the argument that violent movies cause this.
Right.
The gun problem, which it does, they do not.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Dark Knight's... It wasn't the fault of the Dark Knight that that fucking lunatic went in that goddamn theater.
No, it was not.
No. Like, if you... There's so many other ways, Jim Carrey, you could be coming out publicly against gun violence in this country, distancing yourself from this film.
This movie that you got paid to do.
You got paid to do.
If you weren't in it and you were criticizing it,
yeah,
that's a little different.
That's what do you and the I just don't buy that argument, like, oh, all these violent movies and video games. Okay, well, I've watched a bunch of those. I don't own a gun.
And so is other... Well, it's not even owning a gun. It's using it to kill people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's and there's plenty of other countries that have the same media that we do.
Yeah, and not as many handguns. That's not the issue, man.
Yeah.
It's not the issue.
So, but it was the wrong way to go about anything. I mean, because now you just look like a spoiled little asshole. You know, it's like, if you felt that way, then don't make the movie. You know, there's plenty... You're rich. There's plenty of scripts I'm sure you're being offered. Don't make the one that you're going to complain about later.
Yeah, and you just like... I'm assuming you saw the first Kick-Ass movie where there's a 10-year-old girl killing people with a knife.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what were you thinking when you came into this?
So we'll see. I mean, he's getting a little fallout for it too. Let's see after the movie comes out if he might get
but
more.
But I want to see it. You know, Chloe Grace Moretz is like, you know, grown up now and
she's going to be Carrie.
Yeah, so I'm really...
So what else is coming out this weekend?
Lee Daniels, The Butler. This is starring Forest Whitaker. Lee Daniels directed this, and it's based on a true story of the actual of the guy who was the White House butler.
Right.
And you see him as a butler for all these different presidents, like when America was still segregated.
Yeah.
And you see him go through this and what he has to go through from white people, from other black people that are calling him an Uncle Tom and all this. The trailer on this looks really awesome. Forest Whitaker's I love watching him in anything, and I think he's going to be really good.
He's
and
a good producer too.
Yeah, he's a very good producer. And so hold on, is it? And Lee Daniels is what else has Lee Daniels done? The Butler. Hold on, I'm going to look this up real quick. Don't point at my microphone and tell me to get closer.
Well, you got closer and then you trailed off. So you did the same thing as moving farther away.
Yeah, I'm making it worse either way I go.
Why don't you just turn around?
Yeah. Why don't you talk in your shoe?
Yeah. Like you're in Get Smart.
Yeah. Lee Daniels, The Butler. Here's what they're calling it. He did The Paperboy and he did Precious. That's Lee Daniels did Precious. Mm-hmm. So, which was a great movie. So I'm very excited to see this. Also coming out is Paranoia. Now this is the Harrison Ford and
a bunch of other stars.
Yeah, it's Paranoia. Hold on, where is Hold on. No, yeah. All right, Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford. I've seen the trailer for this. Are two like corporate titans that are using some kid. To like,
and they each try to out-ham the other in the trailer.
Yeah, the trailers. I feel like this might be one of those movies that I'm going to be embarrassed to admit I like. Like, I'm watching the trailer. I'm like, God, this is probably dumb, but I think I'm going to really like this. Like, I'm watching this going, this is good. I'm going to go see this alone on the road when I got nothing to do.
Right.
And I'm going to come out.
So
and
no one can call you on it.
No one can call me on it. No one could say, you asshole, you brought me to this. And I'm going to go, actually, it's kind of great. I got
what
like
you're talking
it.
About.
Yeah, it's awesome. These guys are over the top. But I like Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford with his shaved head and a shut up, I own you, or whatever. I don't know. I'm kind of on board with it.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Han.
Yeah. It's going to be, yeah, like a... Disney amusement park version of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. So I'm excited to see it. And then the Steve Jobs movie. Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
The trailer looks like he's going to pull this off. Am I being overly optimistic?
You know what? No, because I think this is something that it really looks like a passion project for him. Mm-hmm. And despite, you know, you can say what you want about him, but the thing is, he's pretty savvy, Ashton Kutcher. Huh? I mean, even though he played a really dumb guy on that 70s show,
sure,
it doesn't matter. I mean, he's one of those stealth producers. He puts together shows. He understands the other side of the business.
He's very savvy on Twitter and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the other side of it is, you know, he's also a decent actor. So I don't think
he's
I'm willing to suspend disbelief and give him a shot.
I'm excited to see it because I guess I share what you say. Like, I think he's sort of he hasn't, you know, he's always played these dumb romantic comedies and stuff like that. But I think there is a good actor there. And like you say, anytime somebody's that savvy on the business end, you know, I think he's been sort of waiting for a project like this to go, hey, everybody.
I think you're absolutely right. He's like, okay, I did the Katherine Heigl movies. Now I'm done.
Right, right.
Now this is what
I was just
going to
say. He's
now.
Like the male Katherine Heigl, who's a good actor. Like, I think Katherine Heigl's a really good actress.
She's not a horrible actress.
She's just carved out this niche of these horrible.
She's not Meryl Streep.
No, she's not Meryl Streep.
but she's not a horrible actress.
Meryl Streep is like, you know. It's Michael Jordan. I mean, there's just one of them, you know? So, and I think Ashton Kutcher has been very savvy with his career. I'm going to just play the good looking dumb guy. And then when a script like this comes along, he's like been working for really the last 10 years of building himself into this producer guy to where he can say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it the right way. And I think it's a great story. And I think it potentially, I think it should sort of be up there rivaling sort of The Social Network in terms of its personalizing this powerful, game-changing guy's life.
Now, it's interesting, too, because there's going to be some real similarities to a movie like The Social Network because it's based on tech and it's like based on, you know, a genius.
True story.
The true story that created this, that, you know, this billions and billion-dollar empire. Big difference, you know, Steve Jobs passed away where the creator of Facebook is still alive.
Right.
So that you're not going to get that like statement from Steve Jobs. What did you think of the movie?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, Steve Wozniak may weigh in.
That's the thing. The next thing I was going to say, there's guys like Wozniak and all the other people that actually worked with Steve Jobs, worked with him, against him, whatever, competed and are still alive.
And I'm curious to hear the reaction to this movie too.
The handling of a biopic it's almost more crucial than any other type of genre of film. And the sense I got from the trailer and just the things we discussed about Ashton Kutcher makes me feel like it's in capable hands. That's my sense of this.
I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I really am. I'm not saying I'm going in with like, oh, this looks amazing, super high expectations. I'm just saying like,
you're going to go in and go, okay, impress me.
I'm going to say impress me, but I'm going to go in there with an open mind. I'm not going in there going, this is going to be stupid. Don't fucking piss me off. Like, and I think Ashton Kutcher, the thing that I was impressed by the trailer is that he looked kind of believable.
Is there any shots of him on a Segway?
He looked believable in all of the stages of Steve Jobs' life, because they show him young, hippie 70s guy. Then when he's in the like short, balding haircut with the tight sort of beard and the like spectacle, you know, the corporate titan type of guy, you go, oh, okay. Now it's a writer that doesn't have many credits, who's done a lot of writing. The director did, you know, Swing Vote. And
wasn't Aaron Sorkin involved in this? As a producer? Maybe not. You know what? I think he has his own Steve Jobs project that's going to compete with this one.
So the director's the guy that did that Kevin Costner movie about the one regular Joe who's the swing vote in the presidential
election. All right,
election.
See, now you're
that's talking me off of it.
Yeah, you're talking me out of it now.
Yeah, now I don't feel
now nice. I am going to go to the movie going, all right, impress me.
No, I'm not. I'm losing faith in this film all of the minute I said that. So I don't know. It's Dermot Mulroney, who I like. I'm curious to see. I'm curious to see what it was. The budget on it, there's listing the budget is $8.5 million, which says to me that potentially
that's a number for a press release.
Right, but yeah. But it tells me though that it doesn't have, I don't know, like the low number actually makes me go, well, maybe they, if they didn't have big money for big budgets and big actor and producer salaries.
I don't believe that low number.
You don't?
No, I think it was. I think it cost more.
Really?
Yeah, I do. When you add up all those salaries and fees, unless it was literally done, put together as an indie, but I don't think it was.
It's all over the map. The production company, one of the production companies did The Gray, which I liked. But
all right, so we'll see. We'll see.
But it's weird. It's a weird mix. It's a first-time writer. It's a director from like movies. You're like, huh? And then a production company that did The Gray. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what you. You can't sit here and go, oh, look at the pedigree of these people. You can't
no,
look
you
at.
Can't.
You can't look at them and say, oh, they've done nothing but awful films. You can't say that either. It's just sort of like.
There's not enough.
There's not enough. To, there's not enough of a decision to say you don't know.
Maybe on Sunday we'll be saying that. Maybe, we'll see.
I don't know. I'm really hoping that I get pleasantly surprised by this film I want to know more about the Steve Jobs story. This is what I like about a good biopic: is when it's done correctly, you go, "Oh shit!
I didn't know that about him.
I didn't know this, that, and that. I didn't know that relationship. I didn't know those two guys knew each other when they were young.
Yeah,
it's like I remember watching Walk the Line." And there's that scene.
I didn't know Steve Jobs and Bill Gates hated each other.
I thought they loved each other. They seemed everything seemed so copacetic.
They're working the same industry.
Yeah, wouldn't they want to play friends? Along?
Yeah.
But I remember that scene in Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash film, where he's in this shitty apartment. He's sort of down on his luck a little bit, and. He's hanging out playing the, and there's like, and he goes, "Hey, Waylon." It's like, oh, that's a young Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that little things like that is cool.
Actually, it was Waylon Flowers.
Yes, right. And like, oh, you know, when they're traveling with like Elvis and Chuck,
Woolery.
Chuck Woolery, you're an asshole. You're really making this. Yeah. We're going to go do rock and roll in 2 and 2. We'll be right back. So anyway, like that kind of stuff. So that's what I'm hoping this Jobs movie is. So, I think that's kind of our show, guys.
Yeah, no, this was great. We got to do a little Elysium, a little podcast festival.
Yeah, and again, go to the site for all these cool
reviews.
Yeah,
there's a lot of great content on the site right now.
And listen to Neil write an actual negative review of a film, a full hate-filled Neil review. Those are rare.
Yeah, a Neil rant.
Don't get those often, guys. So check that out. So that is our program. Chris, what do you have to promote?
We've got a lot of stuff coming up, obviously the festival, and a lot of you guys have been must have some new babies coming online. A lot of Pacify-me's going out the door.
Congratulations.
With drain claw requests. So as always, you can buy that on the site. And we've got like a lot of stuff coming up too. We've got these upgrades. Like I said, the site is going to get bigger and better. We're going to be doing more things with All Things Comedy. Remember, we are on the All Things Comedy Network now, and a lot of good stuff coming up.
Right on. Thank you. My name is Graham Elwood. I'll be headlining the Zanies in Rosemont, Illinois, August 21st to the 24th. All my tour dates are at GrahamElwood.com and, of course, at ComedyFilmNerds.com. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. And remember, Han shot first. Let's go to the buffet.